I'd like to introduce to you Ellen M. Conley. She's a partner in the Energy, Power, and Natural Resources Practice Group in the Haynes and Boone office here in Houston, a place that is where I have a history myself. She's going to be speaking on Texas first purchaser liens. She and where I first met her, she received her degree from Texas Tech University after going to Texas A&M, and she's admitted in Texas. She's an adjunct professor also at South Texas College of Law, where I'm at, teaching transactional skills, a document drafting course. So none of that stand and give the case stuff. I want to see what you can draft. Let's welcome Ms. Conley.
All right, I'm going to assume that announcement counted towards my 30 minutes, and so I get to, you know, maybe cut a couple slides. I'm between the breaks, so I'll do my best. So as Professor Coolander noted, my name's Ellen Conley. I'm with Haynes and Boone in their Houston office, and it's been really fun to follow Alfredo and his presentation because, as was noted, I think they really go hand in hand. And, you know, we've known Alfredo as family friends for a really long time. So when I started my practice about 10 years ago, and I did have a question on covenants running with the land and the infamous Sabine bankruptcy, he was the first person I called. So this has been really fun. So what I will be going over are Texas's new-ish now first purchaser statutes. And so an overview of today's presentation is we're going to go over what that background of those statutes are, Texas and Oklahoma's initial statutes, which were really similar. Then we'll talk about the In Re Sem Crude case, which really tested the prior statutes and whether they were effective or not. Spoiler alert, they were not. And so Oklahoma decided in 2010 that it was going to revamp their statutes to make sure they would do what everyone kind of expected they would do. Texas kind of fell asleep at the wheel. And then in In Re, First River Energy, we kind of see that new Oklahoma statute put to the test. We see it succeed. Texas, again, since it hadn't revised its statutes, doesn't come out as victorious. And so in 2021, Texas, you know, basically took the Oklahoma statute, crossed out Oklahoma, put Texas on it. And we decided to step up our statute and see where that will take us in the future. And then, time permitting, we'll go over a couple of the provisions of the Texas statute and kind of let you know where we're starting to see issues pop up and questions arise. Okay, so the first place I go is just a background on what first purchaser statutes are. And I have this little diagram in place. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, why didn't she go into design and, you know, graphic illustrations? But I decided to go with the legal career instead. So with these statutes, if you're a T-shirt fan of these statutes, you think they're actually for the benefit of first purchasers. And that would not be the case. So first purchaser statutes are statutes that were implemented in the event that a first purchaser is the bad actor. And we're really here to help out the interest owners. And so after the decline in oil prices in the 1980s, we had pressure from oil and gas producing states, which include Texas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, for my North Dakota friends over there, and a couple of other. And so they passed laws to protect the interest owners' interests in oil and gas. And so these are referred to in the statutes as interest owners. And so the statutes grant interest owners a security interest or a lien to ensure that they're going to be paid for their share of production that is sold to these first purchasers. And so if you're trying to think of who is the interest owner and who is the first purchaser, the statutes are relatively broad and not particularly helpful sometimes, but interest owner is going to be an entity owning an interest in oil and gas rights before they are acquired by a first purchaser. And a first purchaser is going to be the first entity that's purchasing or acquiring these oil and gas interests from an interest owner. And so you can kind of see that with the broad interest owner, first purchaser definitions, you're going to have a bunch of different types of relationships that fall into this category.